Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Some breakthroughs. I remember Pastor Greg a little over a month ago preached the message, "The Lord of the Breakthrough." Amen. And we need some breakthroughs. And the number one place that we need breakthroughs are in our mind. Amen. How many would agree with me this morning that our minds are our greatest battlefield? And oftentimes our worst enemy. Our minds can be our worst enemy. Every battle we encounter is first won or lost in the mind before it ever plays out on life's playfield. Whether you're going to win this victory, whether you're going to win this battle, whether you're going to make it through this storm will be determined first in your mind before it ever plays out in your everyday life. The fact of whether I will live a victorious life or a defeated life will be determined by the sum of the thoughts in my mind. What I allow in my mind will determine the success of my life. How many's ever heard the old adage, junk in, junk out? Now, listen to me, I want you to say, you can't, stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest or pooping in your hair. Hello, some of that stinking thinking. I mean, I remember as a young Christian struggling with thoughts, and I wish I'd have had a message like this, because I've realized now that every thought I think is not my thoughts. And I had to realize to take those thoughts captive, and that's what we're going to deal with this morning. Sometimes you've got to take those thoughts captive by the power of the Spirit of God. You don't have to allow those thoughts to run rampant, to run wild, to have full reign, to build up a stronghold in your mind. The truth of whether you will live, listen to me this morning, the truth of whether you will live a fear-filled life or a faith-filled life will be determined by the sum of the thoughts in your mind. Again, what goes into your mind will determine the quality of life you live. We all know that what we feed our natural bodies will determine the types of energy we have, will determine the type of body that we walk around in. Come on, it's just honest truth. It's the same thing in our minds and in our spirits, amen. What we allow in our minds will eventually try to latch a hold of our souls and then get into our spirits. And now we've got, how many knows the woman, the story of the woman? The Bible said for 18 years she was bowed over physically because she had a spirit of infirmity. What was going on in her mind had so got within her spirit that it literally had an effect on her body. I want to give you a definition of two words real quickly, one of them being the word mind. Now, I did not give Shelly all of these. I gave her number two. Shelly, I'll tell you when to pull up the definition of mind. The first definition is the element or complex of elements in an individual that feels, perceives, thinks, wills, and especially reasons. It's the conscious mental events and capabilities in an organism. That's their mind. It's the organized conscious and unconscious adaptive mental activity of that organism. Now, here's the definition I wanted Shelley to pull up for you. It is the set of faculties, including cognitive aspects such as consciousness, imagination, perception. How many knows my perception, your perception is your reality? I remember one time we were in, and just kind of bear with me just a little bit. I'm trying to feel out for the Spirit. But I remember we were in the kitchen one time, and I was having a conversation with my wife, and there was a red lid from a Tupperware dish or just one of those throwawayable type things that you don't mind bringing to the mother-in-law, because if they keep the bow, you know, it didn't cost them. And that red lid was on the stove, and she was fixing to lean on the stove, and she jumped back. because her perception was that the stove I was on. Because anytime there's red on the stove, we know danger. Don't touch. It's hot. She learned that probably when she was a child, when her mom and dad said, don't touch. And she went ahead and stubbornly touched it. And she found out what? Mom and daddy was right. It was hot. There was no danger for her. But her perception was her reality. And she reacted to a red lid as if it was a lit stove. How many's ever been walking in, you know, you're just walking in the woods or you're walking in your yard and you're admiring what, you know, your husband's beautiful mowing attributes and all these things. And all of a sudden you're walking and you're walking and you're walking and all of a sudden you jump back. And you're looking and your heart's pounding. You see something called up and something in your mind tells you what? Come on, what's usually called up outside in the yard that you don't want to see? A snake. And you get closer because there's something, you're like, well, what kind of snake is it? Is it a poisonous snake? And you're like, I don't care what kind it is. It's a snake. But there's something in us. You get closer and you get closer and you get, and then all of a sudden it's a rope that your husband had left in the yard. Now, nothing changed. The circumstances didn't change. The situation didn't change. But your perception of the danger threat had changed. Why? Because your perception is your reality. Oftentimes, our minds will cause us to think things that aren't true, and we will react to them as if they were true. Do you get what I'm saying this morning? So here it is, perception. It's our thinking, it's our intelligence, it's our judgment, the ability to judge, to discern. Can I make it through this yellow light before it turns green on the other side? You know, yellow don't mean slow down in Alabama. Yellow means what? Speed up and get through, right? Come on now. Y'all are DeKalb, Alabama drivers. I know how y'all drive. I drive around here. Yellow does not mean slow down or caution. It means hurry up and get through because Farmer Brown's going to get there and you're going to get stuck behind him. Come on now, I know you drive like I do. It's our judgment. It's our language and memory as well as non-cognitive aspects such as emotions and our instinct. Simply put, it is the seat of our thoughts. It's the seat of our feelings, our judgments, our wills, and our emotions. The other word being stronghold. I asked Shelly, before I give you the definition, kind of pull that picture up, Shelly, the stronghold. I want you to kind of get in your mental picture. That's the Great Wall of China. And we still do this somewhat when we go in, but years ago when they would go in to invade, or this was built to try to keep invaders out. But oftentimes when war was going on in the kings, amen, if you'll read the Chronicles and the kings, they would go in and they would literally dig pits around or build fortresses around the city that they wanted to take hold of so that they could not come out. That's oftentimes the picture that we have in our brains. I want you to imagine that negative thoughts and thoughts from the enemy, thoughts from the wicked one, thoughts from spirit. Maybe it's the way you were raised. Maybe it was the way you weren't raised. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's what you were exposed to, and maybe it's what you weren't exposed to. It has literally time over time, one brick, one rock, one stone, one two before, one beam at a time has literally built a fortress or a stronghold in your mind. Many of you can't change the way you think because of that stronghold has you hostage, and you have to think the thought. I used to say it like, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you always were, and you'll always get what you always got. Well, watch this. If you always think what you've always thought, you'll always think it, and you'll always be what you've always thought you were. It's time to change. It's time to start brick by brick, stone by stone. Listen to me. My wife was a Weight Watcher. She's still a Weight Watcher. They're just not coming together much. But I would see these women, she would see these women, you know, you have 30, 40 years of bad eating habits or whatever, and then you come to one meeting, and I mean, you get good information, you hear the seller, and you think within 2 weeks, you're dramatic. No, listen to me. If it takes a lifetime to create these thoughts, sometimes it's going to take a lifetime in the spirit to uncreate these thoughts. It's not a once and done thing. It ain't a, well, I had a great thought today. Well, it seemed like, yeah, January, I had a good thought, Pastor. No, it's a succession of one thought after another thought, like a pile driver driving. And the only way you'll ever tear that wall down, amen, if you try to look at it in its vessel, you'll say to yourself, it'll never happen. I can never do it. But if you'll take one portion of that wall at a time and begin to pound on it and begin to tear down and to begin to demolish. The Bible said, because of the anointing, every yoke, every stronghold can be demolished, can be destroyed because of the anointing. So the word stronghold, it is a fortified place. So I want you to understand that there's a fortified place in your mind. There's a place in our minds where the enemy feels comfortable, he feels safe, he feels secure. He's built a wall, he's built a fortress, and he's saying you no longer have occupancy of this place. If we were to go in to Russia or to Russia to come in and one of the other tore down our army and began to, they would build up laws. They would begin to build up things and we would no longer have the life that we live now. That's what a stronghold is. That's what a thought can do. It can start with a simple thought. It's a place of security or survival. This second one right here, a place dominated. A place dominated by a particular group are marked by a particular characteristic. And we're going to get a little deeper into that. Sometimes our thoughts actually begin to characterize who we are. They tell us what kind of character we're going to have. A spiritual definition of this word stronghold is acquired core beliefs based on individual experiences. These experiences, along with our families of origin, our communities, our peer groups, our environment, our culture, and our geographical and political influence, they all form ideologies and philosophies in our minds. Like, I can't do that. I could never do that. In my wildest dreams, I'd never be able to accomplish that. Sound familiar? Those kind of thoughts are debilitating. Those kind of thoughts will stop you from living up to your God. Can you imagine Gideon? Amen. He's hiding. Just be honest with you. He's a coward. He's hiding and he's threshing wheat in a wine press of all places. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Oh, mighty man of valor!" And he's like, "Me." I mean, he probably turns like, is somebody else in here I didn't know about? He never dreamed. He did not look at himself as being a mighty man of I'm just trying to get by. But see, God saw something in him that he could not see. And until God changed his way of thinking, Gideon was never ready to go out and fight. Many of us, God is wanting to use you to do amazing things. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can even what ask or think. And it's according to the power that works in us. God wants to stir up your faith. God wants to stir up your hope. God wants to drive, amen, something deep down within you to let you know, like Paul said, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. So these beliefs make up what is called in Scripture mental strongholds. They're rooted deep within the heart and the mind. They start out with a simple, deceptive thought that is never confronted with the truth of the Word of God and in turn become a pattern of faulty thinking that builds walls in the mind that imprisons the individual. In other words, it's a toehold. That's a simple thought that becomes a foothold. It's a pattern of thoughts, because a toe's just one. Foothold's what? You got the whole foot in there now. And then it becomes a stronghold, which is runaway, overpowering, and debilitating thoughts. Here are just a few outward signs of possible mental strongholds. These are some signs, if you battle or if you see this in your life, you realize there has been a stronghold built up in your mind that you, through the power of the Holy Ghost, is going to have to pull down. Anxiety, despair, thoughts of despair, hopelessness, helplessness. It'll always be this way. Thoughts of fear. Poor judgment, we'll deal with that. Performance, I battled perfectionism and performance identity. Listen to me, none of us were saved by our performance, we were saved by a person. And he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete that work until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, in other words, he ain't done working on you. Performance identity, lust, pride, self-righteousness, or thoughts of worry are all outward signs that there's been a mental or a stronghold been built in your mind. These are not personality traits, but yet we call it that. These are spiritual strongholds that manifest as personalities and behaviors. How many has ever heard the old word, she's just a worrier? And since you're in Fort Payne, I know you know this, she's a worrywart. Or he's just so fearful of many things. He never tries anything. He's fearful. We're describing a person. We're giving this fear a personification. He's fearful. He's lustful. She's very prideful. In other words, these little phrases over time have become our identity. She's a worrywart. She can't help herself. You just have to overlook her. She just naturally worries about everything. Listen to me, according to the scripture, that's not normal. See, if we're not careful, we'll pet it. And Pastor Greg says this, what you pet often hangs around. You pet an old stray dog, come on now, what happens? That stray dog starts staying around. If we pet our feelings, if we pet our emotions, if we pet our thoughts and things, well, you know, it's just normal for a mother to just worry about her children. No, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. The Bible said the watchman stays away except the Lord keep the city. The watchman stays away. You could be right on top of little Johnny with your eyes open. If God is not watching over them, there is no hope. You got to put your faith in God. See, we have more faith in our worry than we have faith in God. Well, if I worry about him, then he'll make it home okay. If I worry about her, she won't ruin her life. No, if you're not careful, your worry is ruining your life. It's ruining your quality of life. God said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Am I getting too loud? Come on, if I am, shake your head. I'm fine with it. Brandon, it's on you, brother. I'm just me, man. I love the Word of God. I love to know that God wants me to walk in victory. God wants my thoughts to change, because if he changes my thoughts, he'll change me. It's those patterns of thinking that have become strongholds, and now we're imprisoned in the thoughts of our very own minds. We're in our minds captivated. We want out. We long to not be worried. We long not to be fearful. We long for a life of freedom. But listen to me, the only way you're going to do it is to begin to just beat by faith and begin to replace those negative thoughts with positive thoughts of the Scripture. I believe we ought to take every thought that we have that's negative and find a scripture that's opposite of it. Begin to quote it until we believe it. One man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm struggling. Listen to me, God does not care that you're struggling. He just wants you to be honest. He said, confess your faults, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you, to wipe your mind clean and to heal you of all unrighteousness. In other words, it's not right to think the way hell wants you to think. The life you're living today is primarily due in part to the thoughts and the choices you've made up to this point. Listen to that. The life that you're living right now, today, is primarily due in part to the thoughts, because a thought demands a choice, and the choices you've made up to this point. The life you'll experience tomorrow will be based upon the thoughts and the patterns of thoughts you allow to form in your mind today. Now watch this. The scripture backs this up. Proverbs 23, 7, and just that A part of that. For as he, and if you don't mind, I'm not going to get an extra curse on me. As he or her thinks in his or her heart, so is he. Other interpretations say, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. If that's who you think you are, that's how you're going to act out, and that's who you are going to become. Let me say it another way, and then I got something I want Shelly to also bring up. Let me say it another way. Your beliefs influence your thoughts. Your beliefs, what you believe. My wife believed that that red lid was the stove was on, and she reacted to it. What you believe influences your thoughts. Your thoughts influence your behaviors, and your behaviors determine the quality of life you'll experience. Here's Mahatma Gandhi said it this way. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. And it all started with a simple thought. A thought today will set the course of your life for tomorrow and the day after and until you challenge that thought with the thoughts of Christ, with the thoughts and the truth of the Word of God. So it beckons the question this morning that every one of us need to ask ourselves, do we like who we have become? Do we like us? Do I like me? Do I like who I am? Do you like who you are? Listen to me. Nobody knows you like you do. Now I'm gonna take a little step further. A lot of people say, well, if I know my heart, Pastor Whalen, I'm a pretty good old guy, or if I know my heart, I feel like I'm. Listen to me, trust me, you don't know your heart. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked, and who can know it? No man knows the heart of a man except the, not even the man. Listen to me, you don't know. Only the spirit that's in the man knows the heart of the man. And from within, the Bible said, from within, without of the heart proceeds what? Murders, adulteries, fornication. I've never dreamed I'd have been. But because you entertained a thought that become a pattern of thoughts, it went from a toehold to a stronghold. Now it's a stronghold, and that's why you're doing what you're doing. We have to tear those thoughts down immediately. Listen to me, I remember we had a bird that literally, I mean, every day I had to go. And I mean, she had it built and laid two eggs in it every day. And I had to go out. It was one of those mud dauber type birds that, because we got a pond in our front yard. And right there on our little gutter downspout, right there in that, every day she would have a new nest built and two eggs laid. I've still got the nest in my grunge because I carry them to my children's school for science. I love science. I love biology and all these things. And I was amazed. You know what? If I'd have continued to allow, she would keep coming back and keep coming back. But she finally, because I kept tearing down that nest, I kept tearing down that stronghold that she was trying, she eventually said, I got to go somewhere else. If you will begin to challenge, I remember as a young Christian struggling with lust. I did. I struggled. I hate to admit it. But I learned to quote Scripture. Every time I would have a thought, I would begin. I would literally close my eye and I say, I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. I take that thought captive. And I would begin to quote a verse. And I'm going to give you that verse here a little later. But over time, I began to create new patterns of thoughts. And it changed who I was. Listen to me. You wouldn't want me to have done marriage counseling for you in my old ways. Because I had a whole different mindset. Listen to Paul's letter. Or let me back up. If the answer is a hesitation, or if it's a resounding no that you don't like who you've become, then the only way we can ever change our destinies and our futures is to change our thinking. Listen to Paul's plea to the Roman believers. These are scriptures you need to memorize. Many of you say, well, I just can't memorize. How many memorizes your Social Security number? Come on, raise your hand. Let's get some blood pumping. You remember your Social Security? How many remembers your spouse's birthday? I know my wife's Social Security. You ask her, she don't know mine. I know hers, but she don't know mine. We remember things that are what? Important to us. We remember things that we think are dear and near to us. Listen to me, when you get, the Bible said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. I often say this. This is a good determinant if you've ever been saved or not. Is do you have a hunger for the word or not? I never had to teach not one of my babies to suck the bottle, to long for milk. It was natural. I remember when my first son was born, we were going to go all natural. And I remember when they laid him on my wife's breast. And immediately, as soon as he touched her, his head starts bobbling like a little cat. Amen. Come on now, you've watched National Geographic. His head's a little bobbling and because his neck's trying to be. And he immediately began to try to find the breast to suck. I didn't say, come on, Noah. Come on, you can do this. You've been born. No, it was natural. He longed. He knew my life depends on it. Can I tell you this morning, your life in the Spirit depends on your hunger for the Word of God? Oh, come, all you that hunger and thirst, and you will be filled, says the Lord. So here's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Good verses. I beseech you, I beg you, I urge you, I plead with you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That's what I was doing when I said, I rebuke this thought, I take it captive. I'm presenting my body acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Here it is, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. The world is not like Six Flags. I remember we grew up and we used to teach that the world was Six Flags or the world was going to Lake Winnipesaukee. Or man, that's hogwash. The world is a frame of thinking. It's a worldly mindset. You're taking on the nature and the kind. Do not. That's a negative command. It's like you telling your daughter, do not touch the hot stove. And you're telling them why. Because it's in their best interest. You don't want them to suffer the pain. Paul, as a father and of the church here, he's saying, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed, to be metamorphed. That word be transformed comes from two Greek words, meta and morpho, where we get the word metamorphosis. Listen to me, a frog is no longer a tadpole. They got a whole different appetite. A butterfly is no longer a caterpillar. They totally eat a total, and they fly, and they're not crawling on their back. It's a new creation in Christ. Be metamorphed. How? How do you do this, preacher? By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to the, verse 2 in the NLT, New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God. Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Literally speaking, it means to be changed back into the image of, the plans of, and the will of God that He had for you when you were created by Him. You're going back to the original intent. It bears the idea of converting back to your original destiny. Listen to what Jeremiah 29:11 NIV says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. This is a new lifestyle, a new hope, a new future, a new you. How? By creating and maintaining new thought patterns. Now, here's some more of this information I want you to bear with me just a few moments. A scientific word for a new thought pattern is this. It's called neural pathways. Now, many of you are probably more intelligent than I had to look it up. I just began to do this study and this come across, and I'm like, what are neural pathways? I knew my wife. My wife's a psychologist. I've heard her talk about all this stuff, but I'm like, you know, I got to know for me. Yeah, I got to check her out. Is she right? You know, or is she trying to convince me of something that I don't know? It's true. Neural path. So what is a neural path? I'm glad you asked. I'd like, God, what if they don't ask what a neural pathway is? What am I going to do then? I got all this information, but they got to ask. So I'm glad you asked this morning. What is a neural pathway? A neural pathway is the connection formed by axons that project from neurons to make synapses or connections to other neurons in another location. It's to enable a signal to be sent from one region of the nervous system or the brain to another. Neurons are connected by a single or by a bundle of axons known as a nerve tract. These neural pathways are kind of trails, if you will. It's trails in your mind. It's trails in your brain. How many, everybody knows the more you walk a trail, the clearer the trail gets. The easier it is to walk the trail the next time you walk. Come on now. So watch this. These neural pathways, I bring this up, Shelly. I do want you to write this down if you can, if you're a fast writer, because I'm a fast talker. The more you think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought. And the more likely you will naturally default back to that thought in the future. See, if you don't challenge that thought the first time you think that thought, it's going to be easier to think that thought the next time that you begin to think. And then it will become our default mechanism. That's why drug addicts go back to drugs, because they default back to that old way of thinking. Because those neurons and those synapses and those pathways in the brain have been cleared from 15, 20, 30 years of addiction. And all of a sudden they get under stress, they get under pressure, and they won't change. That's why they went to the 12, the 18-month programs. But under pressure, they default back to the old way of thinking. These are often identified as ruts. You've heard people say this, right? Man, I just feel like I'm in a rut. So what is a rut? You know what a rut is. A rut is a grave with the two ends kicked out of it. You're living in a grave with the ends kicked out, and we just call them simply ruts. It's a rutty way of thinking. You're in a rut. You're in a groove. You're in a way of thinking that you can't challenge because that rut has gotten so deep, amen, that you can't, with your vehicle. I remember going up Sand Mountain. Thank God for Ed Knight. He called me and said, hey, how long are you going to be at church? I thought he's coming back. I said, I'll be here until you get back. He said, no, man, I'm telling you, you better get home now, because when I was going up the mountain, it looked rough. And by the time we hit Highway 40, there were ruts in the ice that had fallen, and you had to follow those ruts. My wife, she was crawling all up in herself and getting hold, and I mean, we're almost, and I said, babe, listen to me. I've got to follow what the ice is telling me to do, because if I fight against it, we're in the ditch or we're off the mountain. That's what ruts will tell you. You've got to think this way. You've always thought this way. You'll always think this way. You'll never not think this way. Come on now. Your thoughts are commanding you rather than you taking charge of your thoughts. So let me show you this in the natural. Say you were to take your car and your husband just mowed this pristine grass. We'll use Pastor Lauren. I've not been there yet, but I've heard they've got beautiful property. I know it's well maintained. And Sister Bonnie, for whatever reason, has this wild idea of a thought to take her car and drive around the house in the yard. She does it one day. She does it 30 days. What begins to happen? The grass begins to show some indentation. Probably don't even take that long. A couple of days, that's all it takes. Then say 60, 90, 120 days. Now there's ruts begin to form. The grass begins to wither. You can kind of see a good clear path. You know, and they're like, well, Pastor Laura, who's driving around your house? And they don't have to guess, like, what's going on? Is the grass dying? You know, kind of two tire treads width apart? Some kind of, you know, new bug that knows exactly to... Hello, somebody. Now, watch this. I did the math. If you were to take 15 years times 360... Let's leave years out. I know many of you can calculate it and you come up. But if 15 years at 365 days, that's 5,475 days or 5,475 thoughts that you've thought. Just one a day. I'm just talking about one negative thought a day. One Charlie Brown, what's that little guy? What's the little pig pen? Is that it? Pig pen? The little dust bowl? He's always negative. You know, it'll always be this way. 5,475 days are thoughts. The ruts would become so deep that it would become unthinkable to try another route. How many's ever been four-wheel drive mudding and the people that's gone before you have created such ruts that you can't experience what you want to experience because you got to stay in the rut that the person before you made? That's what a rut is. Similarly, we have thoughts that we don't even realize we have because the neural pathways have become so connected. We don't even think about what we're thinking about. Have you ever thought about that? That's a lot of thinking, right? I remember the first time I had that thought, the Holy Spirit said, think about what you're thinking about. And I'm like, I'm this kind of guy, when the Holy Spirit speaks, I want to find it in the Word. I believe the Holy Spirit and the Word always agrees. And then all of a sudden, Jeremiah 29:11 in the New King James Version says, I know the thoughts that I think. In other words, God says, I know what I'm thinking about. Do you know what you're thinking about? Now, if you want to become godly, and that's the whole portion or part of wanting to be a Christian, is what? To become godly. God knows the thoughts he thinks. He doesn't just haphazard think. He doesn't let thoughts run wild. He doesn't just say, wow, where did that thought come from? He's constantly aware of his thoughts. Hello, somebody. We have to be constantly aware of our thoughts. Where did that thought come from? So when's the last time you question, why am I thinking this? Why am I thinking like this? Where are these thoughts coming from? We need to think about what we're thinking about. I like to say it like this. We need to make our minds mind. We need to make our minds mind. How many knows how do you make a child mind? By training. Train up a child. You're getting a lot that Scottsboro didn't get. We might be here for a while. I don't know. I mean, I'm like, Holy Spirit. I mean, you train a child by A, B, C, A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? One, two, come on, let's count to three today. And then we'll do five tomorrow. And what you're doing, you're creating neural pathways. And that's why he can remember 1, 2, 3, because he said 1, 2, 3 yesterday. And all of a sudden, these synapses in the brain start forming together. And now you got little trails that little Johnny's brain is running on. And that's how we memorize things. And if you think something today, and if you don't cast it down, it'll be easier to think that thought tomorrow. That's why pornography is so strong. Because the same rush that a person that is in pornography is the same rush. It's dopamines. That's why they call it dope. Come on now. I mean, that's what drug addicts do. What does drug addicts do? They do dope. I mean, it could be crystal meth. It could be marijuana. It could be cocaine. It could be whatever you got. But it's all called what? Dope. Because there's something in your brain called dopamines that all of a sudden is released. And it's that feel good. It's that I got to have it. It's that craving sensation. And that's what these strongholds have created in our. Sometimes we just like the way we think. How many days and times have you had worried or fearful or anxious or negative or angry or hateful or bitter thoughts that run rampant out of control? We have to stop those. Listen to me. You have to stop them somewhere. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Don't harden your heart. You got to change them now. You got to replace them with thoughts of peace, faith-filled, positive, loving thoughts. Let them, listen to what Philippians 2:5, I don't think I gave that to you, Shelley, but he said, let this mind be in you. In other words, you've got to let it. God, the Holy Spirit is gentle. He will not come in and invade. You have to allow. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. If you have the mind of Christ, you have the ability of Christ. I don't know if you know much about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's 9 spiritual gifts. And I won't get into a theological, but there's 3 to think like God, 3 to speak like God, and 3 to act like God. That's what the spiritual, that's why they were given to the church. So you could think like God, speak like God, and act like God. I'll give them to you after if you want to come up. We'll go over that. But the 9 spiritual gifts, there's 3 categories. 3 to think like God, 3 to act like God, and 3 to talk like God. Watch this. This is what the woman with the issue of blood did. She stopped saying things like, I'll always be, you know the story, right? 12 long years she had an issue of blood. She spent every, why is it that we try everything else in the world before we try God? She spent all of her money, all her savings. Her husband probably left her. Couldn't put up with it any longer. She had spent their life savings, their retirement, trying to get better. And all of a sudden, she remembered and she began to change the way she thought. She probably thought like this, no one cares about what I'm going through. If only this hadn't happened to me, my life would be so much better. I've had thoughts like that. The Bible said there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But watch what it's recorded in Matthew 9:21. For she said, or she thought to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I will be made well. This is what she started thinking. Rather than that stinking thinking, she started purifying her thoughts. And she said, self, today you're going to change the way you've been thinking and doing. Self, you're going to stop this pattern of negative thinking and you're going to get off this couch of do nothing and this feel sorry for me, pity spirit, and you're going to get outside and you're going to live life again. You're going to stop feeling sorry for yourself and you're going to go for a walk. And guess what happened when she started going on the walk? She bumped into a big old crowd. Come on, you know the story. The crowd, Jairus' daughter is at a point of death, and Jesus has been preaching in crowds, and Jairus comes and runs and slides and bows and said, God, if you can do anything, would you come heal my daughter? And he's on his way to Jairus' house, and the crowd's around him, and this woman finally made up her mind, I'm getting out of this house. I'm getting out of this stronghold. And she bumps into a crowd, but not just any crowd, but a crowd that's got Jesus in the midst of it. And the Bible said she said within herself, she thought within herself, this is my opportunity to change my life. This is my opportunity to change the destiny, the course of my life. I will never be the same again. Today, listen to me, that's how simple you could make a choice right now. Under the preaching, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, you could make a choice. A simple thought right now could change the course of your life, could change your destiny. I'm winding down. I wish somebody here would get that picture of the crowd being the church. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, I wished I only dreamed if I. Can I tell you that God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly? Listen to this. This is the scripture that I learned to quote. I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't learn to quote scripture, it's like having a pistol with no bullets in it. Listen to me. You know, you pull a pistol on some big bad guy, and you ain't got no bullets, and you pull, and it goes snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispie. He's going to take that thing from you and pistol whip you with it. That's what the devil will do to you. You try, hey, listen to me, the devil is the devil. I mean, even the angels, the Bible declares that said, even the angels do not dare to bring a rallying accusation against Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. They know what kind of formidable foe. He does not slumber, he does not sleep, he does not rest. While you're asleep, he's whispering, he's chattering in your ear. That's why the Bible said to be sober, to be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil. The word devil comes from the Greek word diabolos, which means slanderer. In other words, he's slandering the thoughts in your mind. That's why you're sleepless, restless, got ulcers, ulcerated stomach. Hey, amen. You're not sleeping well because your thoughts are running rampant. Your thoughts are controlling you. And did you know when you're under stress of thoughts, the blood leaves the stomach? That's why you have ulcers. Because the blood, the life of the body is where? In the blood. And when the blood leaves those muscles and those organisms because of the stress you're under, that's when you're under attack of the enemy, and it creates ulcers and digestive problems. Come on now. All these different things. And it all simply comes down, if I could just change the way I think, I could even change my health. Here's the verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through. I learned to quote it, KJV. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. I kind of grew up, Pastor Greg calls him King Jimmy. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. I'm going back to old King James. It's kind of hard to change those pathways. New King James says mighty in God. KJV says mighty through God. For the pulling down of strongholds and casting down arguments. I learned to quote it, imaginations. That's what KJ, casting down imaginations. Watch this. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Here it is. And bringing every thought. How many thoughts? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I want to give you a word picture here. I want you to understand what you're reading. I want you to see it so you can understand what's. I want the biggest guy in here, if you would. Lauren, come on, brother. Pastor Lauren, you're one of the biggest guys, and you know, man, I know you're going to help me out here. I want you to get a word picture. Now watch this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strong. I mean, that's you go in and you see that thought. I mean, you do a karate kick. You start pounding that wall down, and then you go in, and Lauren's like captivated. He's like, good Lord, I didn't know Jackie Chan was going to show up. And you tie that thought up. You take it captive. I'm tying that thought. You thought you're no longer going to have my mind. You're no longer going to tell me how to think. I've took charge over you. Then, watch it. Here's the mental picture. Taking every thought captive. If you look that up in the original Greek, it is to take it by spear point. I don't have a sharp point here. I want to be safe in the house of God. But you take that thing. I've got him tied up. And with they're going to back talk every now and then. And then you, by spear point, you lead him captive out of your mind and say, no longer will you have a hostage hold on my life by spear point. I'm not thinking this way anymore. You're not going to control my thoughts. I'm in charge. God has deputized me with the Holy Ghost and with the Word of God, and I take that thought captive. You need to put that spear around his neck and say, no more. See, we just read this and think, oh, man, that's a good scripture. I ought to memorize that. No, there's something powerful going on when you begin to quote the Word of God. And by spear point, I take you hostage. You no longer run my life. Another analogy here is also that you go in. And now you got to understand these soldiers. I ain't got time to talk about all this. Watch last Sunday's message and you'll understand what all that is. Those were my fights. Those were my trophies. See, I can't fight your fight and you can't fight mine. Those are thoughts that I've pulled down. Those are thoughts that I've took captive and I got little trophies. I done like a lot of warriors did. I took some scalps off. Hey, I got a trophy. This is about my. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. This is a battle I've won. And if I need reminding who I am in God, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. We just sung that this morning. Why? Because I got victory over fear in 1993. Hello, somebody. And how do I remember? Because I got a trophy. You know, David fought his lions. I fought my buffaloes. God, I can't fight David's fight. I got to fight my fights. I got to pull down my strongholds. I got to pull down those thoughts of inferiority, those thoughts that I'll never measure up. I'll never be able to preach like so-and-so. I'll never be able to hogwash, be the best you that you can be in the Holy Ghost. The other thought here, now you got to remember these samurai swordsmen, they would go in and take a city. They would go in, they would tear down the stronghold. They would go in and they would pull swords out. And they're doing all this, stuff that, I'm like, I'd have cut five fingers off, both hands, 10 times over. And they're wielding, and it captivates that fear begins to well up in the enemy. Like, I'm not fighting just any type of fight. This man's come prepared with a sharp sword. He's going to cut my head off. Watch this, what the Bible says, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints. Watch this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. By the Word of God, you can cut out that negative thought. By the Word of God, you can start new life patterns. By the Word of God, you can be a new creation in Christ. It's through the Word this morning. The Bible said He sent His Word and He healed them. Jesus, when he fought the enemy, what did he do? It is written. It is written. It is that. That's just a paraphrase. I bet he quoted 1,000 verses to the devil. The Bible said everything that was written couldn't, or everything that could be written was not written because the world couldn't contain the books of everything that God done. Even while Jesus walked that 3.5 years and God done so much, the world can't even. Somebody ought to get a hold of that. Everything that Jesus did, the Bible said the world can't even contain the books if everything. My God, we ought to walk in power and might and demonstrate. The Bible said the world is waiting. They're longing for the manifestation of the Son. They're waiting for God to just ooze out of you. Ephesians 6, I can't read all this. We got to close. But Ephesians 6, 10 through 7, more verses, you can memorize them all. Just do it one at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, honey. one bite at a time. I can't memorize all that. You better memorize it, because one of these days they're going to take that word from you. It better be written in your hearts. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm going into my mind, I'm kicking down the walls, and I'm taking every thought. How? By the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want you this evening or this morning, if you would, just in an act, I'm not asking you to respond to me. I'm just simply asking that maybe you would respond to the Word and to the Holy Spirit as you're standing to your feet. I want you to get a mental picture that you're taking up your spear right now. Right now in the Holy Ghost, you're taking up your spear. You got a spear in one hand and a sword in the other. You're like the gentleman, his name just left me. I've preached a lot about him. Went and built a wall, and the Bible said they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Some of you Bible scholars, help me out here. Who am I talking about? Come on, help me preach this morning. Nehemiah. Got a book in the Bible written after him. Nehemiah goes in. The Bible said that he fought an enemy from the inside and from the outside. And with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, he tore down strongholds. He built up walls. Amen. Listen to me. You can be a conqueror this morning. You are a conqueror. You got to start quoting that till you believe it. I can do all things. That's got to stop being what Paul wrote. It's got to start being who you are. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Not Paul. I'm not talking about the God of Paul. I'm talking about the God of my generation. We talk, man, if you'd just been here 40 years, whoa, man, I'll pray. We had a revival 40 years. No, listen to me. We got to have a revival now. We need a move of God in my lifetime. Yesterday's manna is not good enough for today. Yesterday's victory ain't good enough for tomorrow's victory. Listen to me, you got to take up your sword of the Spirit every day. I want you, if you would, to just pull out. You can stay there. I started asking you to come forward, but you can say, just get your Bible in your hand. Kind of, you're going to wield. It's called wielding. You know, you yield to the Holy Spirit, you wield the Word of God. Our sword's in our sheath. Come on, go ahead and get it right there beside your hip. You know, like, I mean, you're like, man, devil, I dare you say boo. I'm looking for a devil to say boo. Come on now. I want you to wield your sword with me. Come on, make the sound. I mean, man, I just heard the enemy. Every devil in Fort Payne has found a rock to climb under because we are wielding as I hold it up high. Come on, say this way. This is my Bible. It is the word that I'm going to use to destroy every stronghold and to take every thought captive. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I'm going to be everything it says I can be. It was written for me, for my correction, to correct my thoughts, for my direction, to direct my thoughts, and for my soon coming resurrection, to resurrect my thoughts. I'm going to have new thoughts after today. Because I'm taking old thoughts captive by the Word of God. Holy Spirit, we ask you this morning that you would come, that you would seal this Word in our hearts. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God, I'm asking that we would think new thoughts, that we would set up new patterns of thoughts, that we would tear down strongholds that we have allowed the enemy to build up in our lives. God, many of us have gone through storms of poverty, and because of that, we have a fearful mindset. Many of us have had negative remarks spoken over us and in our minds and in our thoughts, and we've heard them so long that we believe those thoughts that have even been spoken. But today I tear down, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I tear down those strongholds. I am as good as. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I am not inferior. I am not lesser than. I am going to be all that God's called me to be. God, I'm asking that we would begin to think that thought. We would begin to confess that thought. And God, we would begin to become that thought. No longer are we going to be a worrier, but God, we're going to be faith-filled. God, we're going to be the person that just gets on everybody's nerve because we're always positive. We always see God working in the midst of every problem rather than seeing the problem work in the midst of God. God, we're going to be the kind of people that makes our mountains molehills rather than letting our molehills become mountains. God, we're going to make our God giants and make the giants little ones, God. We're going to be those kind of people. We're going to think those kind. We're going to think God thoughts in the name of Jesus. God, I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning, let me real quickly read that verse, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, in the International Standard Version. I don't think I gave that to Shelley. He said, of course, we are living in the world, but we do not wage war in a world-like way. For the weapons of our warfare are not those of the world. Instead, I love it. Here's the part I love. They have the power of God to demolish fortresses. To demolish them. Listen to me, when you demolish something, that's why they didn't build the Twin Towers back. They'd fallen all the way down to rubble. When you demolish a stronghold, I'm talking demolish it. If you leave a little wall, stem wall standing, and you give the enemy hope, he'll start laying bricks back up on that wall again. And he's going to try to come back and invade. But when you demolish it, when you do like Sodom and Gomorrah and you take salt, come on now, you take salt and you just spread it out and nothing grows. Listen to me, the enemy no longer wants it. I don't know about you, and that, listen to me, not a one of us are above temptation. The Bible declares that. But after you whip the devil's hind end so many times, he almost wants to go somewhere else or find something different. That's who we are in Christ Jesus.